Right, today's reading will be from, it'll be 1 John 2:7, or chapter 2, verse 7 through 11. Let me pull that up real quick. Beloved, I am writing to you no new commandment, but an old commandment that you have had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word that you have heard. Yet I am writing to you a new commandment that is true in him and in you, because the darkness is passing away and the true light is already shining. Whoever says, I am in the light, while hating a brother or sister, is still in the darkness. Whoever loves a brother or sister lives in the light, and in such a person there is no cause for stumbling. But whoever hates another believer is in the darkness, walks in the darkness, and does not know the way to go, because the darkness has brought on blindness. All right. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
You may be seated. And now we will have our sermon from Pastor Vicky.
You may be seated.
Good morning, everybody.
Good morning, Pastor.
Aren't we so happy for technology? At least I am this morning. I am coming to you from Brown County, and it's a wonderful day, and I want to wish my cousin a happy birthday today. That's part of the reason why I'm down here. And I'm so glad that you all allow me to have the freedom to be able to bring you a sermon from down here. It doesn't get a much more beautiful place, at least as far as I'm concerned, than right down here and sitting along this porch. So I'm happy that you all are willing enough to allow me to live stream in. So I don't know, this is sort of like a live stream then of a live stream, because as we're putting it out on Facebook, people are also watching. So, well, my friends, this has been a hard week. Actually, it's been a hard several weeks as we have lived through two more mass shootings. And I believe that there have probably been a couple other ones, but those haven't made the news quite as much as Buffalo, New York, and of course, the shooting in Uvalde. So we're gonna talk a little bit about that. And you know, this is a difficult topic to preach on, and I'm sure it's going to be a difficult topic for us to listen to. So before I begin, I'd like us all to join in a prayer together. Let us pray. Loving God, be with us this morning as we bring our hearts together as one, as we hear what you have to say to us about all the things that are going on in the world right now and the violence. May our hearts and minds be open to the words that we will hear this morning. It's in your name that we pray. Amen.
Amen.
And also, before I start, I want to thank Peter. You've done a tremendous job, Peter. Thank you so much. And if it wasn't for you stepping up saying that you would do this morning, I would have had to come home to lead worship today. So thank you very much. You've done a super job. So don't think you haven't done that. Well, as Peter said this morning, you know, he's only known school shootings in his lifetime and other mass shootings. He's never been alive when there hasn't been those things going on. It's been 7 years since the carnage at Mother Emmanuel AME Church. So, I mean, if we are to think that these things only happen in grocery stores and malls and schools, that's not the case, because if you recall the shooting at Mother Emmanuel AME Church in Charleston, they were there doing Bible study when the shooter came in and joined them for Bible study and then began shooting them. The Sunday after that shooting, Pastor James Howell, who's the pastor at Myers Park United Methodist Church there in Charlotte, got a text from a parishioner on the morning, on that Sunday morning. And that text said, "Pastor, pray if you want to, but we need to do something. We need to pray, but we need to do something." Pastor Howell began his sermon that Sunday with that text message. And he told his congregation not only that America's ways with guns and race is an assault upon God, but that this sin requires resourceful Christian reaction. We need to pray, but we need to do something. Over and over again in this country, when something happens, Columbine, Charleston, Blacksburg, Fort Hood, Sandy Hook, Aurora, Kalamazoo, San Bernardino, Orlando, El Paso, Parkland, Santa Fe, Boulder, Buffalo, and now Uvalde. We pray, but we never change anything. And that's just a small list of the shootings just in the last few years. When you bring up guns, people don't want to talk about it. People say, "That's too political, Pastor, and you shouldn't be talking about that from the pulpit." It's not just political and personal, though, friends. It's also theological. It's about what we have to say about God. And if we get that wrong about what we're trying to say about God, then this country has no hope. But if we can say something true about God in all of this, then we just might have hope. Pastor Howell in his sermon made pleas and proposals for specific changes in American gun laws, and he challenged his congregation to engage in specific acts of contact and conversation. He told them, "Let's do something." Because you see, God is eager for us to do something, to have a different kind of community. You know, I think God wants us to take a look at our world and say, we can do this. With God's help and all of us working together, we can do this. Since the attack at Robb Elementary School in Uvalde, there's been an outpouring of responses, and you've seen the fairly silent response that I made for our church as you drove in this morning and saw the 19 student chairs plus two chairs on the end for the teachers who were killed on Tuesday. There have been other responses, contributions for the victims, for their families, prayer meetings, silent vigils, candlelight demonstrations. And those are all good. Don't get me wrong. Those are all good. But it's not good enough for us as Christians. You know, it was nice that at the NBA games this week, there was a moment of silence to honor the victims of both the Buffalo shooting at the Topps grocery store and the shooting in Uvalde at Robb Elementary. But also during the game, during timeouts, they announced mass shooting statistics. In the face of such a horror, such hate, such outrageous evil as what happened in Uvalde on Tuesday, numbed, sad silence can be an appropriate immediate response. But when is the response of silence a lack of response? As Christians, we can thank God that we have more to offer than respectful silence in the face of tragedy. God gives us something to say. For one thing, our pastors can preach. You can preach. We can testify. We can condemn. We can speak up. We can speak out. We can organize and we can act. I'm going to tell you, when I heard the news on Tuesday, I felt broken, and I still feel broken today. Having a hard time watching the news and looking in the face of the moms and the dads who will never, ever be able to hold their kids again. when it immediately happened, I didn't know what to think. I didn't even know what to say. How in the world could this be happening? Less than 2 weeks after the shooting at the grocery store in Buffalo, New York. Both the grocery store and the elementary school were places in their communities where people felt safe. A place where people could go and be without fear that they wouldn't return to their families. As the magnitude of these two shootings has kind of sunk into all of our hearts and minds, yes, we continue to pray. We continue to question how these shootings continue to happen. But I feel like something is different this time. The depth of the pain for those families is beyond words. As a nation, how do we continue to allow this to happen? As Christians, how do we continue to allow this to happen? Isn't there something that we can do? Something to be done by you, by me, so that another community doesn't have to go through this again. And rest assured, friends, if we don't come together as a nation and do it quickly, if our legislators don't begin to work together across party lines and across different opinions about this, to develop some common sense laws that will prevent an 18-year-old from getting a weapon of war. God forbid, this is going to happen again. And will our community be the next one? After one of the many mass shootings over the course of the years, one of my colleagues, and I still remember this very clearly, she was very indignant. She said, doesn't the church have something to say at a moment that the world needs to hear? At this moment, what does the church have to say? Is God expecting something more from us that we're not doing? Well, her Wesleyan Christianity was showing. You know, we Methodists are those Christians who believe that God should not only be loved, but should also be served. And not only respected, but obeyed. And that evil must not only be noted, but that we also have to actively confront by the risk of righteous deeds in Christ's name. You know, we have seen some very touching photos of people, including law enforcement officers, handing out candles at prayer vigils and asking for blood donations and prayers. And that's all good, as I said earlier. It's good, but it's not good enough, friends. You know, we Christians are big on candles and prayers. However, at this time in our national life, we need more from our law enforcement officials. We need more from each of us. We need to encourage and support our police officers. We need to encourage and support them to stand up and speak out against our epidemic of gun violence. You know, the FBI and the Texas Rangers and all of those people are so busy right now trying to find a motive for these shootings, motives of why it happened. But it's not a great mystery why our nation has more mass shootings than any other country in the world. The most advanced country in the world has more mass shootings than any other country in the world. One 18-year-old young man got online, ordered $3,000 worth of guns, bullets, and protective clothing. And he has forced the entire Uvalde law enforcement to respond. But they responded and took more than an hour to stop the killing. Question is, if the killer had not been wielding a weapon of war, would the police have taken so long to end this siege on Robb Elementary School? Our law enforcement officers need to tell us how horrible it is to witness a sad, hate-filled individual with mental illness influenced by the hate that he continues to read on the internet and here in the media. Because he needs to be stopped from being able to get online and buying the means to wreak carnage on a scale that was once just reserved for the military. He was a US citizen, probably had a story of undiagnosed or maybe even ignored mental illness. But what we do know for sure was he had a heart filled with hate. Maybe there's even more to the story as to why this safe place for children in the Uvalde community was his target. And we're probably never, ever going to know the full story or the true story. And now, because of our inability to come together, because of our inability to work together, because of the refusal of our elected politicians to do something, and whether that's on a national level or on a state level, because of our silence, yes, our silence, my friends, one sorry individual can literally declare war on our entire country. I know a church where, after a street shooting of a child, they organized themselves and they went to every single law enforcement official in their community. They went to every elected official in their community. And they said, how can we help you better protect our town? We know that you share our grief over this situation. How can our church, they were asking, how can our church help you do some of the work needed to make our town more closely resemble what God wants? Friends, maybe now is the time for the church to stand up. To stand up and say that candles and moments of silence and makeshift memorials are not enough. Even prayers to God can sometimes feel insufficient. God did not create the most violent society on earth. We did. After the Sandy Hook shooting, a commentator said, once America decided killing children was bearable, the gun debate was over. When the Church of Jesus Christ is known only for its prayers and its limp expressions of sympathy for the oppressed, rather than its speaking up and acting out in Jesus's name, we have decided that we just want to put a little twist to the evil that occurs in our world. Rather than being what Jesus commanded us to be, which is the salt and the light, and agents of change in a new age. My question is this the time for the church? Is this the time for our church to show a violent, hate-filled culture? And because of Jesus Christ, there is another way. It's high time for us as pastors and for you as congregations to show that Jesus Christ makes possible a people who can do what 9 out of 10 average Americans appear to be unable to do. And that is to speak the truth and then to love our neighbor through acts of love. Because you see, we can't pray in love on Sundays, but continue to live our lives in hate when we walk out those doors in the back of the sanctuary. Hate for those people who are different than us, maybe a different color, a different religion, a different generation, a different sexual orientation. Because you see, we are Christians, a people called to a different standard. What's the greatest commandment in the law? You know that. Jesus was asked that question and he replied, love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your mind. This is the first and the greatest commandment, Jesus said, but he also went on to say, and the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself, because all of the law and the prophets hang on those two commandments. Now, I know this is awfully Wesleyan of me, but I remind you that Jesus did not say, light a candle for me, or say, well, every now and then when there's a spectacular criminal act, pray to me. You know what Jesus said. He said, follow me. Follow me. Can we not show the world as churches, and whether we're Catholic churches, Methodist churches, mosques, synagogues, can't we all come together and show the world what it means to love your neighbor? To listen to one another. We don't listen anymore. Can't we come together and come up with some kind of an answer to this question? Because I'm sure, and I wish I wasn't having to say these words, I'm sure that it's only going to be a matter of a short period of time and there will be another shooting. Another 14 to 21 year old who's angry at the world, who has mental illness, who's been allowed to buy a gun that nobody on the street should have. Because friends, next time it could be South Bend, it could be Mishawaka, it could be Osceola, it could be Niles, it could be Granger. And then it's going to be too late for us. So I pray, you all know that I participated in a walk, I think it was 2 weeks ago, a walk about violence in our community on the west side of South Bend, where we walked around and we stopped and we prayed at certain areas where people had been shot and killed. It's time for us to stand up and speak up and to do something. And I hope as we move forward that you will join me in doing that. Can you pray with me, please? Loving God, we come humbly before you. We don't have the answers. But we do know that you call us to do more than just pray. You call us to speak up, to stand up, for those that don't have a voice, like those 19 innocent third and fourth graders who now will never have a voice. However, the voice that they've used in losing their life this past week speaks loud and clear. That we as believers and followers in Jesus Christ must not continue to tolerate this. We must not make this normal. Say, oh yes, just another shooting. Give us the intestinal fortitude to stand up, to speak up, to meet with our legislators, to call them to task, to do something. May our voices join together as one and be heard. May we bring the love and the light that you have given to us into this dark and broken world, because, oh Lord, we are broken. And I think the only way to fix us is to shine your light and your love in the world. Help us be who you've called us to be. It's in your name that we pray. Amen.